We're going to think about thankfulness tonight and what made the Apostle Paul thankful as he thought about the work of God amongst the Christians in Thessalonica, and caused him to write, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." You notice that Paul, as he gives thanks to God, is concerned chiefly and mainly in the spiritual realm with things that are quite different from what the world would consider most important. Paul is thankful and he's praising God for the things which only the gospel, the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and the activity of the Holy Spirit can produce in a person. And as we look at our own experience individually tonight, and as the gospel came to the Thessalonians, you see it produced in them certain results. Paul remembers in verse 3 what we might call the three primary colours of the Christian faith: your work of faith, labour of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Has the gospel had that powerful effect on your life? Has it produced in your life works which result from faith, labour which flows out of love for Jesus Christ, hope which is based upon the sure Saviour, Jesus Christ? And as Paul writes about this church in Thessalonica, then here is something which we can use as a template, a mould, as we think about church life tonight. Just as in every area of life, people tend to have models that they look to, people who can give them help and encouragement to rise up to higher things. Here's a God-given model for us. Every pastor, every intelligent church member, every Christian ought to have two churches in view. Yes, the church that you're part of in this congregation tonight, the church with its blemishes and inconsistencies and problems, but then the church also, as it's set before us in the Bible tonight, as a model that we can press towards and move towards. And that's not the work just of a preacher. That's the work of a whole congregation, to have in the mind of every believer what God would have us be, what we should be moving towards as the church of Jesus Christ. Where should we be going? How can we change? How can we improve as a church that brings glory to God? Well, here's a beautiful model. Here's a standard. Because if your answer tonight is, well, I've got no idea where the church is going, I've got no idea how I should change or how the church can improve, well, if you've got no ambition before you, then you will tend to be all over the place as you think of the direction God wants you to go in. But Paul here gives us a picture of thankfulness. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And it's a common pattern in Paul's letters. Often he's writing to believers with a thankful heart. We ask one another tonight, what do you know of thankfulness? Before Paul begins to ask God for anything, his heart is first lifted up in thankfulness to God. It is the mark of the unregenerate man or woman, the man or woman without God. Romans 1:21 that says, neither were they thankful. The mark of the redeemed in heaven is before the throne of God, there is a chorus of thankfulness and worship and praise for Jesus Christ. If we were going to think, what's the difference between worship and thankfulness? We might say that worship is praising God for who he is. Thanksgiving is gratitude for what God has done. and what God has given. And both of those should be a mark of the Christian. Worship, praising God for who he is. But also thankfulness. Gratitude, thanks for what God has given. Thanks for what God has done. And it's that theme of thankfulness I want to pick up with you tonight. And notice, first of all, that Christian thankfulness is Godward. It is directed to the living God. We give thanks to God, Paul says. So as Paul thought about what had happened in Thessalonica, God had closed the door for Paul and his companions to go into Asia and Bithynia with the gospel. And Paul had a vision from the man in Macedonia, come over and help us. And that had led to evangelism in Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, through the preaching of the gospel, God had laid hold of people in his grace and brought them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Then opposition had come. Paul and his companions had to get out of town. But then Paul received a report from Timothy about the work of God in Thessalonica and how they'd become examples to other believers. How the word of God from them was sounding out in different parts of that region. And their reputation for spiritual vitality had begun to penetrate that whole area. Instinctively, Paul gives thanks Godward. Instinctively, he looks up to God and he says, "We give thanks to God." Now, you could say, well, let's hold on a minute, because Paul, Silvanus or Silas and Timothy, they were involved in these wonderful things that had happened in Thessalonica. Didn't Paul found the church there? Didn't Paul faithfully preach? Didn't Paul reason with them from the scriptures? Didn't he explain and demonstrate that Jesus Christ had died upon the cross and had risen from the dead, that sinners might be saved? Didn't Paul have a part in all of this? Didn't Silas, didn't Timothy have a part? And of course they did. But instinctively, Paul's thankfulness first is directed Godward. And we find that theme all over the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul reminds the Corinthians of this Godward direction. When one says, "I'm of Paul," and another, "I'm of Apollos," and another, "Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Don't say, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. You're not to make your focus human personality. The most basic truth of Christian thankfulness, it is directed to the living God. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Or as James puts it, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So if I was to ask you tonight, have you thanked God this last week? Thanked God for your health. Thank God for your home. Thanked God for your family. Thanked God for food and water and shelter. Would it be embarrassing for us tonight to take a poll to see how much we have been thankful to God? Could it be, particularly in our Western culture, that we are not really thankful enough to God because we don't really believe that those things come from him? And you see, we don't really believe it, because if we really believed it, surely that would express itself in thankfulness. Paul cultivates a spirit of thanksgiving. And it's because his concept is, his idea is, that whatever has happened in Thessalonica, it has come from God. God has done it. God is the giver of all these blessings. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he can write. You know tonight that even your thanksgiving, though, is unacceptable before God unless it is through Jesus Christ. Are you savingly joined to Jesus Christ? God won't accept your thanksgiving unless first you are accepted in Jesus Christ before him. Therefore, by him, by Jesus Christ, the writer to Hebrews says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks in his name. Your thanksgiving, your praise before God too tonight is unacceptable unless by faith you are joined to his son, Jesus Christ. But if you are joined by faith to Jesus Christ, then instinctively for the Christian, surely this should be a mindset to cultivate thankfulness to God. Every blessing, every good gift, where does it come from? There may be human instruments, but it has come from God. So thankfulness is Godward. Secondly, thankfulness is consistent. We give thanks to God when the sun is shining. We give thanks to God when the bills are all paid. We give thanks to God when everyone in the church is behaving. We give thanks to God when the Roman government is treating us well. Paul doesn't say any of those things. We give thanks to God always. For you all, he says. Now, that doesn't mean he was praying, thanking God all day long as if he did nothing else. But what he's saying is his thankful heart was not sporadic. It wasn't fits and starts. It was a consistent part of his Christian experience. Did always Paul feel thankful? Well, Paul had feelings like you and I have feelings, so I doubt it. But Paul sought to capture his feelings and bring them subject to God. God can help us to get our feelings in the right place. If you live on feelings, then you'll have a roller coaster of a life. God doesn't want you to live on your feelings. You are to live with them, but not on them. Paul was not some super saint, though, with no feelings. We have indications in the Bible. There were times when he was agitated, disturbed, angry even. Other times he was discouraged. How can he say we give thanks to God always? Well, in the second letter, he writes, he says in chapter 1 and verse 3 there, we are bound to thank God always for you. We are bound to, he says. We are indebted to do this. It's a necessity. It's an obligation. It's a duty. The reason Paul cultivated a thankful spirit is he recognized this isn't something optional in the Christian life. This is something God requires. If I was to ask you tonight, if you're a Christian, does God want you to grow in holiness? Well, yes, you'd say to me, God wants us to grow in holiness. Does God want you to witness to other people? Well, yes, you'd say, God does want us to witness to others. Does God want you to mortify sin and put sin to death in your life? Oh, yes, you'd say to me, God wants us to put sin to death in our life. Well, what about thankfulness? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. To neglect that in the Bible, sin is any lack of conformity or transgression of the law of God. Later on, Paul will write to them in chapter 5 and verse 18 and say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So Paul learned how to cultivate thankfulness. He knew we are born with clutching hands, not with thankful hearts. One of the effects of the fall, our rebellion against God, is that we will receive 1,000 of God's gifts and not even give half a word of thanks for any of them. So we are born clutching, taking, not thanking. It's by the grace of God, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn this holy art of thankfulness. So Paul doesn't say, oh, we give thanks to God when the sun is shining, when the sky is blue, and there's not a trouble in the world. But when the clouds roll in, when a storm rages, even when there are troubles on every side, we give thanks to God always for you all. So Christian thankfulness is Godward. Christian thankfulness is consistent. And thirdly, Christian thankfulness is prayerful. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So Paul is indicating that Paul, Silvanus or Silas and Timothy, they would meet together to pray together, making mention of you in our prayers, you notice. So there was corporate prayer. They came together to pray. And as Silas and Timothy listened to Paul praying, they heard thankfulness. One of the important things a young Christian learns in coming together with other believers to pray is learning, modeling from others how to pray. And one of the things we need to learn and model is our prayers must be mixed with thankfulness to God. And it seems Paul had learned that. And Paul and Silas were learning it too, from listening to Paul and his thankfulness to God. As they prayed together, Paul, with all the responsibility of all the churches that he had been involved in founding, Paul, with all the pressures on him, sometimes great opposition and persecution, Paul, with all the problems sometimes of all the churches, but Paul did not come to God only asking. He did ask, of course, but with his supplication, there was thanksgiving as well. And that takes discipline, doesn't it? If you don't believe it, you could try it. Next time you pray, you say, I'm not going to ask God for anything at all until I've thanked him for at least 5 minutes. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us how to come to God in prayer in this manner, therefore, pray. And mingled in with that biblical pattern of prayer, there is thanksgiving. That's why corporate prayer is important. That's why in the church here, the numbers that attend our prayer meeting are small. The numbers who pray tend to be small. That's a disappointing thing. If you say to me tonight, I don't feel like praying, well, I would say, God doesn't want you to live on your feelings, though. Don't live on them. Yes, you must live with them, but don't live on them. If you said for the next week, I don't feel like having a shower, I don't feel like having a bath, I don't feel like having a wash, you may not feel like it, but by the end of the week, you'd stink. And the same thing with a prayer time. You may not feel like it, but the spiritual life will stink. But when you see thankfulness is part of something that's Godward and a Christian duty, you start doing it, and the funny thing is, the feelings will then follow on afterwards. But if you're inconsistently thankless, that will lead to prayerlessness. And the Bible is saying tonight, learn to be consistently thankful, because that will lead to prayerfulness. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So Godward, consistent, thoughtful, is the fourth thing. Godward, consistent, prayerful, thoughtful. Because Paul will go on to say, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. In verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. It's what Paul remembered and what Paul knew that made him thankful. So this holy thankfulness will involve you using your mind. You need to remember certain things. And you need to know certain things. So Paul's thankfulness was cultivated by the fact, yes, he cultivated thankfulness because he remembered certain things and he knew certain things. Now, left to ourselves, we forget what we should remember and we remember what we should forget. That's part of the fall. That's because of indwelling sin. We forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget. And because of that, indwelling sin will tend to stifle any remembrance of the goodness of God. If you don't take account of that, you won't be able to cultivate thankfulness. You need to remember and you need to know. Can I give you an example? For example, you come to a prayer meeting on a Thursday night and you say, now, in going to that prayer meeting, I'm going to remember God's goodness to me. What one thing could I thank God for in that prayer meeting? So you call it to mind, you remember, because you know certain things. There's an old hymn that says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. What is that hymn saying? It's saying we need to remember certain things. Count your blessings. Why? Otherwise you'll forget them. And I think particularly in the Western world, with our relative affluence, there are some parts of the world, if people don't know where their next meal is coming from, when they have that next meal, they know and they remember. Ultimately, it's come from the hands of God. But we will tend to take those things for granted unless we call them to mind, remember them, and think of them and know them. Now, Paul is applying this particularly here to the church in Thessalonica. We give thanks to God always for you all. As Paul heard about this particular local church, he remembered certain things and he knew certain things. He remembered and he knew that they'd been transformed by the power of God. He remembered and he knew they were pressing on the way to biblical holiness. Timothy had brought him the report of how the church was getting on. Paul remembered and he knew they'd been born again of the Holy Spirit. Paul remembered, he knew they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. He remembered and he knew they'd been rescued from judgment by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. So as Paul knew those things and remembered them, Paul was able to pray with thanksgiving to God. Was that always the case? No, it was not always the case. Listen to him writing in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 18. where he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." The Thessalonians caused him to be thankful. There were some who caused him to weep. If Paul wrote about you tonight, would he say, "I write with thanksgiving to God"? Or would he write and say, I write with weeping"? It's a big question. Because the church is not just some vague thing out there somewhere. The church is people. People like you and me. It's the people of God here. Paul was reporting about us. Would he say, "I thank God for them"? Or would he say, "I tell you, even weeping"? You see, if there's no hunger for God, if there's no desire to live a holy life, if there's no concern to witness and evangelize, if there's no desire to serve Jesus Christ in any way, no desire to pray, no thankful spirit, Paul might well write, "I tell you, even weeping." But yes, with all the failures and mistakes, but if there is evidence of a hunger for God, if there's a love for Jesus Christ and a desire to be like him, if there is loyalty to the Savior and thankfulness to God and a developing prayerfulness, then surely Paul would say, "I thank God for you." So does Paul write, "I thank God"? Or does he write, "I write with tears"? One of the great responsibilities of leadership in the local church is the responsibility of rejoicing or weeping over a congregation. Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." With joy or with grief? I thank God for you, Paul says, or I write with tears. Now, of course, at the end, it's not human evaluation that counts. At the end of the day, it's what the Lord would say. That's really what would count. But this cultivation of Christian thankfulness, which is Godward, that's a very vital focus. We give thanks to God, Paul says. And it's consistent. We give thanks to God always. And it's prayerful, always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And it's thoughtful. Paul remembers certain things and he knows certain things. Well, here's a big challenge for us, isn't it, on a Thursday night as we pray together, to remember and know. Now let's think of something that I can thank God for. And then come, you see, a very simple prayer, isn't it, to say, "Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for the blessings you've given me in this last week." Naming something specific, if you want. Some particular way in which God has helped you in the week that's gone by. When I started out in the Christian life, a pastor said to me, "Come to the prayer meeting. The first time you come, just get up and say, 'Lord, thank you for saving me. Amen.'" But it's important, isn't it, to be thankful. And let's not take God's gifts for granted. Oh, that's such a big danger in our society. The gifts God gives us, the many blessings. And when we think about the Church of Jesus Christ, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering, knowing. Well, let us remember and know and cultivate Christian thankfulness. Let's pray together. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for this a challenge to us to develop a thankful spirit, giving thanks with a grateful heart, coming to God. Yes, we can come with our requests. We thank you that you're the God whose ear is open to our cries. But Lord, we pray that you'll also teach us what it means to come with a thankfulness for countless gifts of love, counting our blessings, naming them one by one, being surprised by what God has done. Help us, Lord, never to be those who take for granted all the blessings that God has given. May more and more in us and in our corporate times together, may we be people who will develop this holy art of thankfulness together. And we ask you to hear us as we come to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing another hymn together. And then God has given us the means of grace that we can come around the Lord's table too. So 702 is our final hymn. I have not seen thy face, O Lord, yet with my heart I love thee. 702. We praise you tonight, O Lord, as the God of salvation. We come and we want to bring hearts to you that are thankful for all the gifts you've given, so many blessings, and for all that you have done for us. O Lord, the half can never be told. And especially as we come around the Lord's table together and consider the enormous price paid for our redemption, the shed blood of the Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, may our thankfulness overflow as we come before you. And we want to praise you tonight for the Saviour, for that grace, that mercy, that peace that he has brought to our hearts. So hear us as we come. Help us in the means of grace. And by the Spirit, stir our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.